Welcome to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. Welcome to the show. We are going to be talking today about addicted to struggle. And the numbers to call throughout the show if you want to kind of talk about, ask questions about how you can have more of what you want with ease and joy. The numbers to call are 1-866-254-1579. That's toll free. 1-866-254-1579. Or if you want to call us from outside the United States, 001-760-918-4300. And just want to set the table a little bit by talking about something I've really noticed with my clients, which is that they all seem to go through three stages when we work together. And the first stage is at some point over the first few months that we work together, they go from being caught up in whatever drama they were caught up in when they first hired me to a place of peace, a place of well-being, a place of, oh, it's all okay. And that really freaks people out. And so phase two, you know, phase one was the sort of worry, panic, oh my God, I've got to sort my life out phase. Phase two is there's something wrong. And when I ask them what's wrong, they go, well, nothing's wrong. Or they worry because they're not worried enough. Or they're scared because they're not scared anymore. And that's that addiction to struggle that I'm going to be talking about throughout the show. Because that's that point at which you recognize it's almost not okay to be okay. Because it's so unfamiliar. And in a way, we're more comfortable with being uncomfortable than comfortable, just because we've got more experience of it. What I would love you to get from this show is the sense that it's okay, and that even if you find yourself feeling okay and then worried because you shouldn't feel okay yet because you don't have everything you want yet, recognize that that too will pass, and you'll get into that third phase, which is just a phase of authentic peace and ease and happiness and well-being. So I'd love to take your calls about what you want and how to have more of it with ease and joy. The number's 1-866-254-1579, or from outside the United States, 001-760-918-4300, and we'll begin with Helen in Toronto. Helen, welcome to the show.
Hi there, thanks. Michael, my question is about, and my struggle is about procrastination. So just like you were talking about, I feel like there's something I should be doing. Mm-hmm. How do I get myself to do it?
Well, even that question presupposes that the voice that's telling you you should do it is right.
Okay.
So let's just do a little reality check. You know, what is it that you should be doing that you're not doing?
I should be taking action towards my goal.
Oh, yeah. I read that book. That was a really good book. I really liked it. Here's the thing. Okay, I'm not saying that there isn't anything for you to do. Okay, mm-hmm. Maybe there is. But usually when somebody's not taking action towards their goal, I mean, procrastination is a very fancy way of saying I'm doing this instead of that. I'm doing one thing instead of what I think I'm supposed to be doing. So in your case, in this instance, what is it that you think specifically, what is an action that you're really inspired to take towards your goal that you're not taking?
Moving towards work that I love, that I enjoy.
Okay, so again, that sounds beautiful. Direction. And I think it's great. That's a good direction to aim in.
Okay.
But is there anything that you're aware of, so just really tune in. Tune into yourself, tune into your body, tune into your heart. Ask myself, is there anything I know to do specifically or I'm inspired to do that I'm not doing? And allow the answer to be whatever it is. If it's a no, it's a no. If it's a yes, it's a yes.
So is there anything that I'm...
Yeah, so tune into your heart, tune into your body. Just ask yourself, is there anything I know to do to move in the direction of work I would love? Or anything I'm inspired to do, even if it doesn't make sense, anything that just kind of keeps coming up, and I keep thinking, God, I should phone Bob. And then, is there anything like that?
Yeah.
Okay. So what is that? What's that thing?
It's a meeting with someone from my spiritual community to talk about a business idea.
Okay. So would you be willing to do that in the next 48 hours?
Absolutely.
Okay. That's it. You're unstuck. You're unprocrastinated. You're a good person again. And it's okay to feel good.
Wow, that was easy.
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing, is it can be. But there will come a time, I can guarantee you, Helen, it will happen again, maybe even in the next week. You're going to again go, oh my God, what am I should be doing something. And again, each time you feel that, the trick is to just tune into your body, tune into yourself, ask yourself, you know, is there anything I know to do? Is there anything I'm inspired to do that I'm not doing? And if there isn't, just allow that to be true, because inaction is as important part of the success process as action is. But it's like we have all these books that tell us, oh, no, getting into action is really good. And you know what? It's good when there's something to do. When there's nothing to do, it's just busy work. Does that make sense?
Yeah, very helpful.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you very much for phoning in.
Thank you.
Let us go next to Jeffrey in Watertown, Massachusetts. Jeffrey, welcome to the show. Jeffrey, you with us? Hello, Jeffrey. Going once. Going twice. Okay, we'll try and get back to Jeffrey if we can. I'm not sure exactly why that happened. Let's go to Aluzia in Chicago. Aluzia, welcome to the show.
How are you doing?
I'm very well. Did I get your name right?
No.
Well.
It's Alusha, but that's okay.
Alusha. Okay.
Yes.
I like that name. Does it mean something neat, Alusha?
In Latin, it just means wing.
Wing. Just the one wing? Or do you have two to balance it?
Well, I think that if you made it plural.
Alushas.
By changing the end.
Well, let's take that. We have an Alusha on line 3 and an Alusha on line 1. Let's bring them both on and then they can fly. Okay.
Yes.
So, what can I do for you today?
Well, I found the description of your show very, very, very intriguing. You know, I'm extremely well evolved and I understand all of these principles, you know, of self-sabotage. You know, you're going forward, you know, you're going after your goal, you're going after whatever it is that you want. And then it just seems that just as you're like on this momentum, as you're, you know, constantly going forward, little by little by little, things start to, you know, sway you, come at you from the side, taking your focus away from what it is that you actually want, and you let these things, you know, take you aside. So then you kind of realize that, and then you say, okay, I'm just really going to stay on focus, and then you're just focused, focused, focused. You've got the momentum going, you're going, you're going, going, and just when you're on the cusp, it seems like the entire universe decides to take a day off and go someplace else on vacation.
Okay, so I'm because we're really playing in the abstract here, but I'm gonna start with something that is a.
Yes.
I'm not entirely convinced of this, but to me, the notion of self-sabotage is a load of crap.
Yes, I know, but I just
I don't mean that about you, but I mean as a notion, because it's look. Yes, I understand why people call it self-sabotage because, hey, I'm doing these things and then suddenly I do something that doesn't seem to be in support of what I've set as my goal.
Or all of a sudden you're going forward and then it just seems like the entire universe just, I don't know, did a flip side.
And right. And again, you see, this is the wonderful thing about struggle. One of the ways that you know you're setting yourself up for struggle is instead of it just being something bad happened, the entire universe has flipped and has turned against you. Do you know what I mean? It's like suddenly in our minds we get that announcer voice going, it is you and you are screwed. And the reality is, look, you know, stuff doesn't always work out. And if you allow it to be that simple, often, I'm not saying always, but often it is. And so in your case, is there something specific that you would like to do or that you would like to have that you feel you're the thing that's in the way?
Well, I already had a very flourishing business, and then, you know, there was some personal trauma. My son died,
mm-hmm.
and then all of a sudden, it's just like the whole world did a flip.
Okay. So
I can't get anything back, you know, sort of.
Have you, in whatever way you would, have you grieved your son?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Okay. And when you think about your life now, if you were going to start today, in other words, if you just kind of showed up in Alusha's body,
right,
and were like, "Oh my gosh, I'm in this body, and this is great," what would you love to do?
I think, well, I'm an artist, and so obviously, somewhere that, but fight for the environment.
Okay,
you know, just simply because I'm not.
Is that thing that got stuck? Was that to do with fighting for the environment?
No, absolutely not. That's easy.
Okay. So.
But my bread and butter, my work, my life is my.
And I'm going to suggest that maybe the flip was an opportunity to just reevaluate and to come in at it clean and to go, do you know what? That has been my life and that may continue to be part of my life going forward, but I have a chance to start again in any moment. And right now, what really appeals to me, what would really bring me joy, what really moves me, where it feels like the flow of my life wants to go, is towards helping the environment. And if that ties in with my art and my work, great. And if it doesn't, I'm still going to allow myself to go with that flow. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. That's fighting for the environment. I've always done that, and it's always been more of a hobby.
Okay, so here, we're coming up on a break. Can you hang out with me over the break?
Yes, I'm very
okay,
sorry.
So
absolutely.
What I want you to do over the break is I just want you to tune into your heart. I just want you to ask yourself over the break and just spend a bit of time with it.
Yes.
Okay, if I did know what was really going on, what would it be? And we'll talk about that when we come back. If you want to get in after the break, the number to call are 1-866-254-1579. That's toll-free, 1-866-254-1579. Or from outside the United States, 001-760-918-4300. We're talking about being addicted to struggle, and we'll be right back after this.
1, 2, 3, hit it! Welcome back to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
Welcome back indeed. We are talking about being addicted to struggle, and I'm taking your calls about having what you want with ease and joy, and you can make those calls on 1-866-254-1579 or from outside the United States on 001-760-918-4300. And we're talking to Alicia in Chicago. Alicia, welcome back.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm well. So what came up during the break?
Absolutely, yes. What came up is that I am addicted to struggle. I think I'm not concentrating on my work, and that I am allowing myself to go left and right again.
Mm-hmm.
And that I think because of the trauma, I cannot connect to my work.
Okay.
That's what I meant when I said the entire universe just sort of flipped. Now,
right.
When I sort of approach my work, it's
and that's what I meant.
Joyless or senseless.
I was going to say, and that's what I meant when I said, "Have you really allowed yourself to grieve?" Because part of that grieving process it isn't just about making peace with what's happened. It's about making peace with the fact that your life tends to sort of reevaluate yourself when somebody that you love and care about and are close to dies. Because it does change things. Now, it can absolutely, life, big picture life, can absolutely get even more wonderful. And there's a sort of, you know, the model of the five stages of grief?
Yes, by Anna Gray, sure.
For me, in my experience with, you know, grieving for family members that I've lost, that have been killed, and also just working with other people, there is a sixth stage. And it's getting to that point of actual gratitude for what you've had.
Uh-huh.
Not gratitude for what you lost it.
Uh-huh.
But really recognizing that even the loss is part of the journey, is part of the perfection. And I would never say to somebody who's going through grief, oh, you must,
Well, that's precisely right. You can't say that.
I just offer it up as something that is possible.
Right.
And it's something that, I'm just going to just give you this and let you take it away and play with it.
Mm-hmm.
But what I would say to you is cut yourself some slack. Allow things to be a little bit jumbled up. Don't feel like you're supposed to have it all sorted out.
And I would, but my entire reality is falling apart.
Okay. And again, let me give you an even simpler piece of homework.
Okay.
Okay. Whenever you hear yourself saying things like my entire reality is falling apart.
Precisely.
Recognize that you're kind of blowing things out of proportion.
Okay.
You might be having a bad day. Something that you didn't want to happen may have happened. Something that you think
home being taken away. Big. I mean, this
no. I understand that.
Okay.
In other words, I understand that the individual things may also be big. But there's an insurance company in the UK that their slogan is "We won't make a drama out of a crisis."
Oh, so you think I'm doing that? It could be true. I'm so dramatic.
Well, and again, that's a wonderful trait in some circumstances, but when you use it to make yourself unhappy,
uh-huh.
It's a less useful trait. So what I would encourage you to do as uh-huh. just a next step, because you can only ever take the next step,
right.
is to just be really aware this week
uh-huh.
of your ability to bring it back to the real and the specific. And you know, when you notice yourself catastrophizing, making it even bigger. I'm not saying it's not big,
right,
but making it even bigger.
Uh-huh.
Just bring it back to what's really happening.
Uh-huh.
And can I handle it? And those two questions, what's real, what's really happening, and can I handle it,
uh-huh.
you're going to find that in 99 out of 100 cases, the answer is going to be, this is what's really happening, and yes. This is what's really happening, and yes. And in that 100th case where the answer is no, then call someone. Then reach out to people in your community. Reach out to the people who you have around you who can take care of you. Okay?
I understand. Yeah.
Thank you, Alicia.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure. Let's go to Cynthia in Midland, Texas. Cynthia, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi, what can I do for you today?
Well, I'm wondering, how do I get unaddicted to struggle?
Well, I mean, it's interesting that sort of I'm sort of trying to map that across and going, would I ever say to somebody how you become unaddicted to alcohol? I don't know if it's as much a case of becoming unaddicted as allowing the addiction receptor cells to atrophy. You know, there's a model within the addiction community that the structure of addiction is that literally each time you indulge in the addictive behavior, there are actual physical neurons and receptors that get fired off and triggered, and there's actually architecture in the brain that's built and connections that are built that each time you do it, they're reinforced. And then when it starts, when you stop doing whatever it is, you know, let's say it's gambling. When you stop gambling, those receptors are going, hey, what about us? What about us? What about us? And at first, that's that craving feeling. But if you don't meet that craving with the same thing, if you satisfy that in other ways, and I don't recommend this, or you just tough it out, those receptors begin to die off. And literally over time, the structure of your brain will change. Now, I'm going to presume, and I am absolutely not basing this on scientific research into addiction to struggle, because I made it up. It just seems that way to me, that people who struggle act the same way as people I work with who are addicted to physical substances. So I can't say, oh, yes, it's exactly the same. But there, so really, in other words, the way that you overcome the addiction to struggle, the way you let go of the addiction to struggle, is to, A, whenever you notice yourself struggling, let it go. And B, begin to find ways of doing the same things that you want to do without the struggle. So let's get specific. What's a specific area where you feel like you're struggling and it would be great to be able to do it without the struggle?
Make money. Work in a career that I love and make plenty of money. Make money to support myself. And I've let myself go in different directions. Mm-hmm. Many different directions. And, I mean, I am good. I'm an expert at, well, you said you didn't like that term self-sabotage, but that, you know, I would term it as that, because I'm so good at doing it. I don't know what I'm doing. I think I might know in the back of my mind, but I still, you know, I don't know a different way of going about it. And
So give me an example of what you're calling self-sabotage.
Well, with money, I'll give you a kind of a silly example. I can have a lot of money one day, and I can figure out a way to spend every last dime of it down to the penny, so I make sure I don't have any.
Now, again, I just want to check, because, you know, look, it's possible that what you're saying is true. What I suspect is more likely is you do what seems like a good idea at the time, and then when it doesn't work out, you beat yourself up for it.
That's true.
Okay. That, to me, that's not self-sabotage. That's, okay, I might need to work on my decision-making process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what's a specific decision that you made, something that you decided to do with money, that afterwards you went, ooh, that didn't work?
Well, let me kind of expand on that a little bit, if I may. I'm a massage therapist, and I know that I'm really good at it. I found out that I have a real gift for this hands-on. I've been doing it for about 8 years. I'm kind of old, 50, turned 50.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Look. Should I take over the self-hate for you? Cynthia, you're not only old. I can tell through the radio. You're unattractive as well. Okay, let's move on.
Well, that's what my ex said. He said, "Don't you don't have to kick your own. You know what? I don't have to kick your. You know what? You do a good enough job of it yourself. You know." But anyway, midstream, I decided to go to nursing school because my family has always told me to get a real job, they don't see my gift at all. Mm-hmm. And that's the only thing I've ever done that I really feel in my element. And
this is massage or the nursing?
Massage, you know. And nursing was good for me. It was a real challenge. It was hard for me to do, and I felt really good about what I accomplished. But I still managed to.
Okay, Cynthia, right now, do something for me right now. Okay, take a nice deep breath in. And just put your attention on your physical heart. You can actually put your hands over your heart, or at least the one that's not holding the phone. And just take another breath, a nice breath, into the heart and let it out. And just think a happy thought. Think about somebody that you love. Think about someone that loves you. Something that you love. Just something that brings a smile to your face. Do you have that?
I sure do.
Okay. Now I just want you to ask yourself on the inside, what would I love to do?
It's neither of the above.
Okay, great. What is it?
Well, I really like to work for high caliber executives because before massage, I worked as a legal secretary.
Okay. Can you guess the amazingly insightful piece of advice I'm going to leave you with?
Yes.
What is it?
Do it.
Absolutely. Look, the way you follow your joy is by following your joy. The way you inspire yourself is by listening to your inspiration. And the way you live a life that makes you go wow is by finding out what your wow is and acting on it. And that absolutely, that's the end of struggle right there. Just do what you already know to do. Thanks very much, Cynthia. We're going to come back with Kim and the rest of your calls. And we will be right back after this.
Welcome back to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
Welcome back indeed. We're talking about being addicted to struggle, and the numbers to call are 1-866-254-1579, or from outside the United States, 001-760-918-4300. And we're taking calls about having what you want with ease and joy. And just before I go back to the phones, we're going to start off with Kim and La Quinta. I just want a little experiment for you to try at home. So just for the next 60 seconds, I want you to give yourself permission to go with your wanting and knowing. So you can literally do anything you want. Now, 60 seconds is a short enough time period that I'm guessing even the most mischievous among you aren't going to get up to anything too crazy. But what I want you to notice is, does it feel familiar to give yourself total freedom like that? Permission to do or feel or think or say anything? Or does that feel weird? Does that feel uncomfortable? It's like, whoa, I better not go there. What I want you to do, if you found that wonderful, if you're finding your 60 seconds is great and you want more of it, if you're finding it really awkward, I want you to play with taking those minutes of permission throughout the week this week. And if you find the minute easy, go ahead and stretch it to 5 minutes. If you find 5 minutes easy, stretch it to half an hour. Because so much of what lets us overcome the addiction to struggle, so much of what lets us allow it to be easy, which is a really hard thing to do, is just permission. And with that thought, let's go to Kim in La Quinta. Kim, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Oh, hi. It's nice to talk with you. And I'll make one correction. I live in La Quinta.
La Quinta.
We have an article in our paper. Don't call it La Quinta.
there's a new cell phone out here, and their slogan is, don't call it a phone. It's an entertainment device. So
same
Kim
thing.
In La Quinta.
But anyway... Kim and La Quinta, she moved to La Quinta, and same thing. It seems like I've had quite a few years here where struggle, you know, and the concept, if you didn't have bad luck, you wouldn't have any at all. But I have all the tools as far as the I've been a massage therapist also. You know, I've done a spiritual, you know, I'm on that path. I know those tools. I have a new avenue to go to financially because I'm, you know, a single parent and struggling, or I should say was struggling because I try to frame it on what I want for the future to be the positive side of bringing those things in, because a lot of things of going forward, they're new things, and that fear that, you know, false evidence appearing real is probably, I have a big block, I have a potential of financial money to make, and yet I find myself procrastinating doing like that first step of an unknown, something new, going to food if I have to make a phone call instead.
Mm-hmm. Have you heard my theory about no pain, no gain?
I'd like to hear it.
Well, here's my theory. My theory is no pain, no pain. In other words, it's not that, like, there won't be any pain. I don't know anyone's life that's pain-free. I don't know anyone that doesn't have things that don't work out the way that they want them to. It's just a lot of people seem to think that they get bonus points for making it worse. And so, you know, again, this notion, I'm not particularly picking on you, because this is most people actually, you know, procrastination is like self-sabotage. It sounds very important, and it sounds like that, well, yes, it must be a real thing. There are books written about it. Stick procrastination in a wheelbarrow and show it to me. Okay? It's a way of describing not doing what we think we're supposed to be doing.
Right.
So here's, let me actually do a short course with you, Kim from La Quinta, a short course in what I see as the only five things that get in the way of people doing what they think they're supposed to be doing. Okay?
Huh?
You ready?
Yeah.
Number one is inertia. You know, I don't know if you remember your high school physics, but, you know, Isaac Newton said an object at rest tends to stay at rest, and an object in motion tends to stay in motion. So sometimes the reason that we're not doing what we think we should be doing is just because it takes some extra energy to get started on anything. You know, if the momentum of our life is taking us in a certain direction, or if the lack of momentum in our life means that we're not really doing anything, there simply is some extra effort involved at the beginning until we get moving in the direction that we want to move. Does that make sense?
Well, right. I have plenty of energy to put into it. I have a tendency, like you said, to put it in the other lane instead of the lane that it should go in.
Okay, so then that's one. Okay,
yeah.
Now here's the second one. The second reason that people don't do what they think they should do is because they've learned that it's what's called learned helplessness. They've learned that, and this is incorrect, but they've learned that, well, nothing I do is going to make any difference, so I'm just not going to bother doing anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the reality with that is where there's a way, there's a will. In other words, as soon as you start to see a way that you're actually going to be able to do what it is that you want to do, you're going to suddenly find that your energy is going there just fine. But on some level, probably, you know, obviously I've been talking to you for all of 4 minutes, so I'm not going to pretend to be an expert on your life, but probably there's an element of, well, you know what, it's not going to work anyway, so I may as well just put my energy over here.
Mm.
Okay, here's number three. Resistance. Now, what I mean by resistance isn't necessarily what a lot of people mean by resistance. So here's a little experiment that you can all try at home. Is I want you to tell yourself, let's do the experiment like this. Kim, you don't have to do this because you're holding a phone. But if you're listening at home, what I want you to do
is... I'm holding a phone. I can do it too.
Okay, I want you to go over to the nearest wall, and I want you to push against it. Okay? Are you pushing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now if the wall doesn't fall over, I want you to push harder. Okay? Are you still pushing?
Push real hard for this wall.
Fantastic. Now, I want you to keep pushing until either the wall falls over or you decide that it's kind of stupid to try and push down a wall and give up.
That's probably what's going to happen.
Okay, have you gotten to the kind of, it's kind of stupid to try and push the wall down?
Yeah.
Okay, now, just now, just when you're beginning to relax into not pushing against the wall, I want you to tell yourself that you really need to get back up and try to push the wall again.
Okay.
That's how most people try and run their lives. Okay, they tell themselves that there's something that they should be doing that they're not doing, and if they don't do it, they push themselves even harder, and they threaten themselves with, like, dire consequences for not doing it, or yell at themselves inside their minds.
Oh, yeah.
And then they keep pushing themselves. You keep pushing yourself until either you actually do it, or you get tired of the inner struggle and resign yourself to the fact that you're just not motivated enough, you're a procrastinator, you're a bad person, you self-sabotage. But,
right?
Then just as you're starting to accept the fact that you're not going to do it, you start to beat yourself up about it again so that you can at least stay struggling. You can stay in conflict in hopes that one day that state of inner tension is going to finally drive you to take action and that wall of resistance is finally going to fall over. Does that sound familiar?
Mm-hmm.
Here's the truth. All right? You're almost never resisting actually doing something. What you're resisting is being forced to do it. And the irony is that you're the one doing the forcing.
Right.
So
I'm forcing myself, right.
And so now here's the thing. What a lot of people say to themselves at this point, or say to me, is, you know, okay, but if I don't force myself to do it, it will never get done. And what I always said is, you know, can you really know that that's true? In other words, have you ever actually left it long enough without pushing to find out? You know, a story I tell a lot because it just illustrates this very cleanly to me is, you know, I used to be a perhaps typical husband, and I would never tidy up around the house. And you know, my wife used to, you know, say, you know, this is ridiculous. You know, you never do this. You procrastinate. You put it off. You know, and I made up much worse stuff than she ever said about me. You know, oh, God, I'm too lazy. I'm too chauvinistic. I'm a, you know, terrible husband, all this. And then would occasionally clean up, and then I would just never do it again. And it finally, what finally my breakthrough was, she went away for a week. And about day three, I looked around and I thought, oh, man, the house is a mess. I'm going to clean up. And I suddenly went, oh, the problem isn't that I'm this horrible person who procrastinates and is never going to get around to doing things. It's I hadn't gotten to that point yet for myself. Now, there's my wife's set point for how bad it needed to get before she wanted to do something was just so much lower than mine that she always got there long before mine ever got hit. And so here's the thing for you. Here's what I want to leave you with as we come to the end of this segment is I want you to do a little experiment I call the comfy chair. Okay? I want you to find a comfy chair in your house, and I want you to sit in it, and I want you to plan to sit in it for as long as 4 hours. And I don't want you to get out of that chair unless you have an honest-to-God, genuine, authentic desire to do something. Does that make sense? Do you understand the idea behind that? And what you're going to find is you're going to have lots of voices in your head going, I really should be doing this. This is a stupid experiment. Why did I do it? He'll never know. I'll just get up and out of the chair.
Right.
You know, just shut them up, thank them for sharing, and stay in that comfy chair unless and until you have that authentic desire. And what you're going to start to notice is once you learn what authentic desire feels like, what it sounds like, it gets easier and easier to follow that instead of that voice of struggle. Because the thing is, it doesn't matter who you are, if somebody pushes against you, even if it's you, you're going to push back.
Yeah. Now, 4 and 5 would be nice to hear.
Well, I'll stick them in after the break.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you,
Kim. Have a nice day.
Okay, we will be back with more of your calls and with points 4 and 5 about motivation and addiction to struggle after this break.
Welcome back to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
Hello, hello, hello. We're talking about being addicted to struggle and how you can move beyond that. And we're taking your calls about having what you want with ease and joy. And we are going to take Barbara's call in New York. Barbara, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
What can I do for you today?
Oh, well, I've been writing, doing freelance writing for many years.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like I just struggle a lot trying to get more assignments. I've tried various things. I put an ad in a national magazine. I put an ad in a local area. And I just feel like somehow I'm doing the wrong things because I feel very confident in my writing ability and I have experience of doing all kinds of writing. But somehow I feel like there are certain things lacking.
Okay, so here's my first question is, what makes it struggle and not just action? In other words, so what you described, okay, those are some things that you did. There's nothing inherently struggle about taking those actions. So what is it that makes you experience it as struggle?
Because I feel, well, for example, the other day, somebody called me up and said that they wanted me to possibly do ghostwriting for them. And I felt, you know, very enthusiastic about this. I talked to them, and then all of a sudden, the person called back later and all of a sudden said that, you know, they just, you know, were doing something else at the time, and then they never called me back. And I just kind of feel like, you know, what did I say wrong? I feel like somehow I need a more professional, you know, personality, let's say.
Yeah,
I feel like I need a...
good luck with that. look, I think what you're saying is really important because it's something that is really hard to realize that sometimes stuff doesn't happen because it didn't happen. In other words, I'm not saying, look, if you are consistently, if you are getting feedback from people on a regular basis that we would hire you based on your skills, but we can't because you don't come across professionally enough.
That's what I'm talking about, yeah.
So people are saying that to you, that's a regular piece of feedback that you get.
I'm getting that feeling, yeah.
No. That's, listen to what I'm saying. Okay, there's a big difference between I'm getting that feeling, which is, means I'm making up a plausible explanation for why things bad are happening, and people are telling me when I ask why am I not getting these jobs, they're telling me it's because you don't come across professionally enough.
Yeah, I have heard that. Yes.
How often? Once from
more than once.
Okay.
Several times, yeah.
Okay, recently?
Yeah.
Okay, great. No. And again, it is really important to check that because it's just too easy to make up a problem when there isn't one.
Right.
But okay, so what is it specifically about the way that you come across that people don't feel is professional enough?
I guess I start just trying to, let's say, chat with people. I get off on the wrong tangent.
Oh, my God. You chat to people?
You know, I sort of act more informal than maybe professional, if that's the word.
Okay, honestly, come on. Think about, would you want to work with somebody over any period of time where you had to pretend that... Mr. Johnson, yes, thank you very much. We will now be talking about the book you would like me to spend the next 3 months of my life working on with you. Would that be okay, sir? Would you get any joy from that?
No.
Okay, so just drop it. Don't work with those people. Okay? Because I can absolutely guarantee you that for every uptight, thumb up their butt person who cares that you're being informal, there are 30 people who will be relieved and will find you a breath of fresh air.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I'm going to actually encourage you to be more you. Look at what else aren't you letting yourself do? What else aren't you giving yourself permission to do or be or say because it's not the way one should do it? Just what's something that comes to mind? What's one thing that comes to mind that if you really had permission to be exactly the way you want it to be, what's one thing that you would do differently?
Oh, I don't know.
I'm going to put you on the spot. I'll start playing the Jeopardy music in the background. Do, 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 do.
You mean in terms of...
In terms of it, look, it can be a specific, relationship that you've got, maybe an interview that you did where you thought to say something and I mustn't say that. Or you thought to do something. It could be looking forward with your career, something that you kind of think, oh God, if I had the balls, what I would do is this.
The funny thing is that I think that sometimes I really sound, this sounds like, I guess, what I just said or whatever, that I sound so enthusiastic. And I wonder if they're, when I do that, people think, sometimes I think people have said that they think that I'm being insincere or something, or that I'm joking if I sound very enthusiastic about something. But there are a lot of things that I'm interested in.
You know what? Okay. It is taking an amazing amount of self-restraint now, where we're almost on the verge of my struggling to not swear really loudly using bad words that my mother wouldn't like at whatever idea is in your head that you're supposed to be this censored, dull, lifeless, formal version of yourself, and that's going to somehow help you get work. Look, even if it did help you get work, the work would suck. So look, here's my thing, Barbara. Just keep going, okay? All that's happened is maybe the strategies that you're using have not been the most effective strategies for you. So what I would absolutely encourage you to do is, if you know other freelance writers, if there's a place where you go, just look around. Don't sort of try and copy what they do. But just see if there's anything in what you hear somebody has done that appeals to you. You know, tune into yourself. Take a piece of paper, and at the top of the piece of paper, if you do this for 1 week, I guarantee you, you're going to come up with ideas. At the top of the piece of paper, go, more fantastic freelance writing jobs. And just start writing. And write for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, even 10 minutes will make a difference about just anything that comes to your head about how that could happen. If you do that for a week, you're going to go through and you're going to come up with 100 crap ideas. But you're going to come up with at least 3 that you're going to look at and you're going to go, ooh, that would be fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to encourage you to take those 3 because there's no point in getting a job that you wouldn't want. It's like I always, this amuses me as like hell when people pretend to be somebody else when they date. It's like, what are you going to do if they actually like you? Are you going to try and then keep up that character for the next 20 years? And look, people do, but why put yourselves through that? Why do that to yourself?
Well, exactly. Yeah, I realize that a lot of authors that I like are the ones that just sort of write in the most down-to-earth way, in the most human way, and I've always liked that.
All right, so gut check, Barbara. Are you up for it? You going to go for being you and just trying more different things?
Definitely.
All right, fantastic. Thank you very much for phoning in.
Thank you.
All right. Look, I can't say this enough. There's no point in success without happiness. I'm not saying you have to choose. I don't believe you do have to choose. It's just that if you're making yourself and everyone in your life miserable in order to get somewhere, you're wasting your time. If you're doing things in order to be happy, you're doing them in the wrong order. Just allow yourself to be who you are. If what you're doing isn't working, by all means do something else. Maybe pull back, tune in, brainstorm. But allow something to emerge. I promised the other two things that people mistake for procrastination, and one is forcing the flow or perfectly timing the universe. More often than we'd like to acknowledge, the problem isn't that we're doing anything wrong, it's just that we want the results quicker than the universe is willing to give them to us. And there's an element to which timing is everything, and there's just a simple exercise you can do, just an experiment you can do with this, which is just take something that you're working on that you're willing to experiment with, don't choose anything life or death, and just decide that for the duration of the project, you're going to allow your body to be smarter than you, and if you don't feel like doing it, don't. Now, if you do feel like doing it, or even a little bit of it, trust that that timing is going to be perfect too. And keep note, as you do this, of all the coincidences and serendipities and happy accidents that are going to happen along the way. Now, the thing to remember is there's no way to screw it up. Whatever you find yourself doing, it's going to be exactly what you're supposed to be doing in order to perfectly time the universe. Fifth and final thing is overcoming chasing the wrong goal. There are three reasons, three motivations for any action that you're going to take or goal that you're going to find yourself pursuing in the world. And one is desperation, or because you think you have to. The second is rationalization, or because you think you should. And the third, and as far as I'm concerned, the only one that's going to create a life that's going to make you go, wow, is inspiration, or because you want to. And I'll just finish with a quote from Sabria Tenkin, because I think it's absolutely brilliant, who's the founder of Braille Without Borders. And talking about her own blindness, she said, you know, maybe it's good that I'm blind, because people who can see all the reasons why they can't do something. And I don't see the obstacles. I only see the one reason I can do it, and that's because I want to. So I hope you've enjoyed the show. My thanks to Roberto and Joe back in the studio today. We're going to be back with you next week at this time. If you want to learn more about the kinds of things we've been talking about on this show, you can visit me online at www.geniuscatalyst.com, and you can sign up for my free weekly tips, or you can join me on my online forums. And until next week, have fun, learn heaps, and be inspired.